This is Morning Edition. I'm Eric Hodge. Writer Peter Guralnick has spent his career interviewing and writing about some of the biggest names who were there at the very beginning of rock and roll. He wrote the two-volume Elvis Presley biography, Last Train to Memphis, and Careless Love, as well as books on soul great Sam Cooke and blues legend Robert Johnson. For 2 to 3 decades, his work put him into close and frequent contact with Sam Phillips, the iconic founder of Sun Records in Memphis, and Mr. Phillips is the subject of his new book. The biography is called Sam Phillips, the Man Who Invented Rock and Roll, How One Man Discovered Howlin' Wolf, Ike Turner, Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, and Elvis Presley, and how his tiny label Sun Records in Memphis revolutionized the world. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
That is a mouthful. But
well, that's not the title. That's just a description.
I like it very much. But it really, even as long as that is, it only hints at the impact that Sam Phillips has had in the world. And I find it interesting that a man who is not a musician per se has been credited with inventing rock and roll.
Hello, 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 baby. Thought I'd call you on the telephone.
Well, as Sam said, he says, I put the light on and I spotted the possum. So it but the thing is that what he achieved is exactly what he set out to do. I mean, he heard a music that a transcendent kind of music and a transcendent kind of culture growing up in Florence, Alabama, outside of Florence, working in the cotton fields with black and white sharecroppers on the farm that his father rented. And he heard the music that he heard in the cotton fields, the music that he heard at the small black church, which was just a catty-corner to the church that he attended in Florence, the music that came out of those open windows. And then his visit to Beale Street at the age of 16 in 1939, when he was blown away really is to minimize the experience. But from that moment, from the moment he saw Beale Street, he was determined to come back to Memphis, not for the cultural advantages or the normal cultural advantages of Memphis, not for the Hotel Peabody, which is where he worked for WREC.
Sure.
But for the spirit of Beale Street, and that's what he set out to capture, the spirit of the cotton fields, the spirit of the church, and the spirit of the black church, and with a sense that these were people who had never been given a voice, that this was a music that had never been given a chance. And he opened up his little studio on January 2nd, 1950, with the explicit idea of recording some of those great blues singers in the South who had nowhere else to go.
You women have heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along.
He used a term, perfect imperfection, for what he was trying to capture on tape.
I mean, the idea is essentially to take whatever you get and to make the most of it and to give it the greatest honesty of expression you can have. I was down by the Tennessee River with Sam in Florence one time where we were shooting the documentary that we made back in 99, and these dump trucks went by. So they shut down shooting, and Sam said, what are you doing? You know, what are you shutting down shooting? Those are the best dump trucks you're ever going to get. Those were real. And, and he went on about it, and then he went on about perfect imperfection.
What was his view of race? We should talk about that a little bit.
His view of race from the time he was a small child was just that there was terrible social inequity in this country from the time he was 5 or 6 years old. And the reason that I am convinced that this was not a matter of, you know, backward-looking is because I talked to a lot of members of Sam's family. I mean, it was a wonderful family, and a good number from the older generation. And they said, this is what Sam would talk about from the time he was just a young child. And it wasn't something that they approved of necessarily. At the time of the March on Washington, his niece just happened to be visiting, and she said, he just compelled everybody to watch the march. He went off and recorded Jerry Lee Lewis that night, but he watched the march, and he said they would never see anything of greater impact, of greater importance, or of greater hope than the March on Washington.
He must have taken some heat in Memphis in those early days.
Oh, he took terrible heat. I mean, essentially, when he was doing, when he was running the studio and working at WREC, which was a kind of a flagship station in Memphis, one of Memphis's earliest stations and one of its best, or one of its highest highest class, they gave him a terrible time about his association with, and I'm not going to say the word, but I mean, you know, about his association with those people.
I ain't gonna raise no more cotton. I'll tell you the reason why I said so.
Well, there's a music compilation coming out simultaneously to this book, and you got to choose all these songs across two CDs. How much fun was that?
It was great. It wasn't just across two CDs. It was across the universe. I mean, it was the idea was, I'm not saying this is the way Sam would have done it,
right. But
I chose things which were not, you know, they may not have been the ultimate choices, but they were the ultimate choices of the moment, you know, in the spirit of perfect imperfection. They were what's, and then I tried to put them together to sequence them in ways that cut across category, that cut across, you know, chronology, and that indicate in some ways the commonality of the vision.
You've written liner notes where there's a story for each song, and there's one on Howlin' Wolf that points the reader to a Shindig performance
right.
In 1965, which really in the notes you're not advising people to go watch this. You're like,
I'm commanding,
put this down right now and go watch this. And I did it.
No, it's just astonishing. And you know, he was on because the Rolling Stones requested him. This was in 65. And he just walks out there. He strides out there with such command. There's no doubt whatsoever in his mind that he belongs there. And he just delivers that song with so much power and so much impact. He just, bam, you know.
Peter Guralnick wrote the new biography, Sam Phillips, The Man Who Invented Rock and Roll. It's also a two CD set on Yep Rock Records. They're both out now. Thanks for stopping by, Peter. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, it's been great. I've really enjoyed it. And now everybody run out and watch that Shindig performance.
I'll watch it again.
How many more yells have I got to let your dog be around? How many more yells have I got to let your dog be around? I'd as soon rather be dead.